Welcome back to Kliyakar and the Parsha with Daniel Eisenberg. This year is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas, my mother, Chayrach of Asavet Tzvi, and we are in Parshas Vayetze. And we're gonna start with a Kliyakar on an interesting pasuk, an interesting point. We know, of course, that Yaakov spends 7 years working for his uncle and soon-to-be father-in-law, Lavan. He's thinking that he's working for Rachel's hand in marriage. Of course, Lavan switches the plan on him and gives him his other daughter, Leah. He marries Leah and then commits to another 7 years. He marries Rachel and commits to another 7 years, so 14 years in total. And it would seem that after those 14 years, he approaches Lavan and says he wants to leave, and Lavan insists that he continue to work for him. And then he works for another 6 years for a different salaries, actually. And then he is told by Hashem to leave, and he leaves after 20 years of working for Lavan. And while, as I noted, it's something that it seems like the reason that he asked Lavan to leave. Right, it says that he said, "Shalchini v'elchol mokomi l'artzi, send me off, and I'm going to go back to my land, my place. I'm going to go back to my land, Eretz Yisrael, and see my parents." So it would seem that because the 14 years of his that he committed to were up, but that doesn't seem to be the full story, right? Chazal seemed to understand that it's specifically because of the birth of Yosef that this happened. And in fact, if you look at the pasuk says, Perek Lamed Pasuk Chafei, Vayi Ka'asher Yolda Rachel Es Yosef, that it was when Rachel gave birth to Yosef, then Vayomer Yaakov Elavan, Shachini Velcha Mekomi L'Artzi. That's when Yaakov says, okay, I'm going to go home now. Please send me off, and I'm going to go home. I'm going to see my parents again, right? They missed my wedding, and then my subsequent three weddings and many births. I would like to go home and take my family. But the pasuk seems to indicate that his asking to leave is not just because the 14 years were up, but rather has something to do with the birth of Yosef. Why is that? And we're going to take a look at, we're going to see really like three pshatim in the Kliyakar. Maybe we'll start with Rashi, just very quickly take 20 seconds to Rashi, and we'll return to it in one of the Kliyakar's answers. So first of all, Rashi says that, Rashi's quoting the Midrash in Bereishis Rabba, that says that when, Mishnolad Satno Shel Esav, it's because the Satan of Esav was born. Yosef is the Satan, he's the obstacle, he's like the counter to Esav. Quotes a pasuk in Avadya, which is part of our Haftorah, that says that the base Yaakov is Eshu, base Yosef Lahava, that the house of Yaakov is a fire, and the house of Yosef is a flame, and that Esav is compared to Kash, straw, and so Yosef is that flame that burns up the house of straw of Esav, that burns it up into smoke. So something about Esav, something about Yosef is a counter to Esav. That's how Chazal understand it in Midrash Rabbah. Kliyakar starts off with a different approach. He says, Ta'amo shel davar shelo bikesh Yaakov shalcheni na ki'im achar nushal Yosef. The reason that he doesn't ask Lavan to leave until after Yosef is born is lefi shehaya Yaakov misupak im yatzu mimenu yud beis shvatim alo. Yaakov was misupak. He was doubtful. He didn't know. There was a feeling that he might have 12 shvatim, but he wasn't sure. Could be there was some sort of tradition that they had in their family that there's going to be somebody to have 12 shvatim, and he didn't know if he was going to be the one to have the 12 shvatim or not. Kliyakar supports himself quoting a midrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Actually, I believe it was the Midrash we used for Hidden Treasures of the Midrash in that series last year on Parshas Vayetze. So you can take a look at the Midrash there, where it indicates, based on what Yaakov says regarding the 12 stones joining as one stone, so which is a little bit different than the way the Gemara, the Rashi quotes it, and that you can again listen to the Hidden Treasures of the Midrash here on Vayetze from last year. But anyway, Kliyakar gathers from that story, that midrash, that Yaakov wasn't sure if he's going to have 12 shvatim or not. So what changed over here when Yosef is born? So Kliyakar explains that when he heard the naming, Kishamra Racha ben Nevua Yosef Hashem li ben Acher, v'lo b'ksha banim harbe, when he heard Racha say that she's naming Yosef, that give me ben Acher, give me another son. And she didn't ask for many sons. So he realized, he realized that there's some sort of Ruach HaKodesh that she was saying. Normally, you would expect her to say, "Give me many more children." The fact that she asks for one more son is an indication that this was not something that was, you know, just a normal woman with a normal request. That this was something that was like Ruach HaKodesh, and it was an indication that he was going to have one more son. And Yaakov reasoned, okay, well, if this is Ruach HaKodesh, tell me I'm going to have another son, and I'm going to be the one with the 12 Shvatim. So clearly, I have some sort of guarantee for protection that I'm going to be able to make it. That I'm and right, because Rachel wasn't even pregnant yet with Binyamin. It's going to be actually a while before she is pregnant with Binyamin, and then Binyamin is born. So, skipping a little bit, Yaakov felt like he had security now. Now that he knows that he's going to have this other son, and it's going to be the 12th son that he wasn't sure if he was going to have. So he has some security that Esav's not going to be able to beat him. Therefore, he wasn't scared of returning now. Now he said, okay, I have Yosef, but not just Yosef, but part of Yosef is that there's this prophetic guarantee that I'm going to have yet another son. So for sure, he's not going to be able to do anything to me, and I will be able to raise my 12 sons. That prophecy is coming true, being fulfilled with me, and I will be able to have a safe return to Eretz Yisrael. That's the first pshat of the Kli Yakar. Then Kli Yakar moves on to what we quoted earlier, V'Razal Amru, a second pshat that Chazal say, is that Mishinolat Satan Shel Esav Dehainu Yosef, that Yosef is the Satan for Esav. He quotes that, the Midrash that Rashi quotes. And of course, the pasuk in Avadja with a little more, a few more words, but what does this mean? Like, well, what is it about Esav or about Yosef that's going to be a counter to Esav practically? Okay, we have a pasuk in Avadja that has some more sort of mushel, a fire and flame and straw, but practically, how would that be? So first of all, Kli Yakar starts. He says, even though Afal Pi Shem Mikra Zeh Ne'emar La'Sid, even though this pasuk is really a prophecy for the future. It's not necessarily talking about, you know, these, you know, the human being Yaakov and Esav and Yosef. That's talking about something, you know, much bigger picture. But nevertheless, he's paraphrasing Gemara Megillah here. He says basically the following, that there was some sort of basically, that there was going to be a sense within Esav that even if Esav wouldn't know it consciously, but subconsciously, his mazels, Esav would have a sense of fear, right, of Yosef. That it says, Alken vaday yipolibo shel Esav biroso es Yosef. For sure, that Esav's heart would drop at the appearance of Yosef, because of what's going to happen in the future, where Esav is going to fall into the yad. Base Yosef. Therefore, Yaakov wasn't scared anymore. Even though there's something in the future where Esav's going to fall in the hands of Yosef, Esav was going to sense that and be totally in fear when he would see Yosef. That's the first thing he says. But then Kli Yakar says further, "Va'och Yosef satan l'fisha asal Esav ein lo taina al Yaakov ki mashalakach umena bechora." He says because really, the only reason Esav could threaten to kill Yaakov, why he's so angry at him, the taina that he has against him, the complaint he has against Yaakov, is that Yaakov took the bechora from him. Because really, the brachos are based on the bechora. The fact that he took the bracha from Esav, that he had to, you know, do that whole plan to take the bracha, is only because he took the bechora originally. So that's really the claim that Esav has against Yosef, Yaakov. You took the bechora from me, and then the bracha also. That's why I'm going to kill you. But v'la'asid Yosef meishiv lo kishem shenilchacha bechor miruven al yidei chil yitzoy aviv v'nasna li Yosef. But we see something similar, that Yosef is going to be the one who get the bechora because of what Reuven does. This is referring to next week's parsha Vayishlach, where Reuven moves around the beds, has some sort of violation on his level of sexual immorality, and because of that, he loses the bechora. Chazal point this out, and Yosef takes over this aspect of the bechora. Yosef gets a double portion. Chazal speak at length about this. So we see that Yosef kind of gets the bechora, and Reuven loses it because of his sexual immorality, again on Reuven's level. being involved in his father's marital affairs. So, kach bedin nilkacha me'esav shehayat tzad nashim tachas baleim v'nasin el Yaakov. So, the point is that Yosef is this symbol of taking the bechora from the older brother who lost it because of a lack in this area. And therefore, it's fitting that Esav should lose the bechora to Yaakov because Esav was a tzad nashim tachas baleim. As Chazal tell us, Esav would trap married women and engaged women right under their husbands, and he would trap them with his words, and he would violate them. So clearly, he had a lack in Gileres in a much more extreme way than Reuven. So it's like a kal v'chomer that he doesn't deserve he doesn't deserve the Bechor, he doesn't deserve to be the firstborn. So if even Reuven, for whatever his lack was in Gilui Arayos, he lost the Bechorah to Yosef, and we should note that Yosef is a superstar in this department, as we'll see in Parshas Vayeshev when it comes to Eshes Potiphar, that he was really incredible in this area of self-control. So Reuven, and if Reuven at his level will lose it to lose the Bechorah to Yosef, so of course Esav, who is a horrible adulterer, is going to lose it to Yaakov and the Ish Tam, who Kliakar in last week's parsha speaks about his purity and him and Rashi quoting Chazal. In this week's parsha, when he first says he wants to be given his wife already, that talks about his sexual purity. So it's very fitting for Esav to lose the Bechorah to Yaakov. So again, this answer is that when Esav will see Yosef, so there's something that completely throws off the claim that Esav has against Yaakov. Because it's going to be very clear from sensing something about Yosef that Yosef is going to get the Bechorah from Reuven, and it was therefore for sure a kal v'chomer how appropriate it is that Esav would lose the Bechorah to Yaakov and the Brachos as well. And the Kliyakar then has a third answer. Tam Acher, another pshat, kodim shielda Rachel hayim esbayesh levo el aviv. Before Rachel had children, he was actually very nervous to come home to his father. Why shalom shalokach eshes yivas torah l'shem taiva? Because he was nervous to come home. You know, sometimes a person can come home with his hopefully kala, and he doesn't know what the parents are going to say. He's nervous. Yaakov was nervous to come home with his wife Rachel because she was so beautiful, but she didn't have any children, and he didn't want Yitzhak to think that, you know, as was. Done, we see it took place with Lemech and Parshas Bereishis, because I'll speak about this. At the time, people would have two wives, one for Taiva and one for producing children. So he didn't want Yaakov didn't want Yitzhak to think that was the case over here, that he has one wife with that he has all the children with, and the other wife is just very beautiful but it's just for Taiva, there's no children. So he was waiting for her to have a child, and then he would go home. And he says that's what it means when Rachel says Asaf Elokim Cherpasi, that Hashem has removed my cherpa, my scorn. She says that just as she's naming Yosef, he removed my cherpa. What cherpa? What scorn? What disgrace? So Kliyakar says the disgrace that he's removing is the thought that maybe she's just the wife for Taiva, to satisfy desire, to satiate desire, and she's not like a real wife to produce children for Yaakov, and that was the concern. So we have over here three, maybe four answers of the Kliyakar. We'll just review them. The four explanations for why we waited for Yosef, why Yaakov waited for the birth of Yosef. First of all, he waited for the birth of Yosef because he was nervous. He didn't think he had security that he was going to necessarily survive returning to Eretz Yisrael, because Esav would have attacked him. And only when Yosef was born and he heard Rachel saying with some sort of Ruach HaKodesh she was going to have one more son, that he realized, okay, I'm part of this. There's some divine prophecy that I'm going to be safe. I'm going to have a 12th son. So then he thought he was safe to return. Kliyakar quotes Chazal. So he quotes Chazal that it has to do with Yosef being a counter to Esav directly, and he basically gives two pshatim on how Yosef is a counter to Esav. First of all, because in the future Esav is going to fall into the hands of the base Yosef, and that Esav would sense that there would be some fear when he would see Yosef. Another pshat is that Esav that Yosef is the counter to Esav, because Esav's whole claim is about, you know, why he's angry in the first place is because he doesn't have the bracha. He didn't get, because Yaakov took the brachos, but really because Yaakov took the bechorah, the right to be the firstborn. But Yosef is the example who also, he's given the bechorah, the firstborn right that Reuven lost because of Reuven's lack in this particular area of Gilui Raya. Since if Reuven lost it to Yosef, then for sure Esav deserved to lose the bechorah to Yaakov. And the third or maybe fourth answer of the Kli Yakar is that he was very concerned that his father would see Rachel without any children and assume that Rachel was just his wife for Taiva. And once Rachel had a son, Yaakov realized this is not his wife for Taiva. This is just a normal wife. She happens to be beautiful, okay. But this is a normal wife that he married for appropriate reasons. So we see over here that there is a... Now, first of all, it's amazing to see so many interesting pshatim and some that just fit into the words of Chazal very nicely. But also, each individual answer has its own beautiful lessons that we can incorporate into our lives. We should be able to do that. Have a beautiful Shabbos.